Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Tennessee, all my friends was glad to see me. Seen some down by the railroad track, seen some cotton pickers with their sacks on their backs. They say, man, we're glad to see you back. We got a new dance they call bacon fat. It goes.
So I thought bacon fat and grilling might go together. But I was just talking to engineer Adam during the break, and he was telling me that he was grilling for Memorial Day weekend, as many people in Chicagoland do and did and will continue to do. I'm by the way, physically distanced from WGN. I'm in Arizona, where we, because of the high fire danger, especially the area I'm in, because we're pretty much in a national forest, are prohibited from charcoal grilling. And I can't tell you, Adam's sitting there. And then I say, and now I'm going to talk to Meathead. And yeah, this is torture and it's a pleasure at the same time. I'm Raleigh James, filling in for G. And we have Max Good, Meathead from AmazingRibs.com. Welcome, Max.
Hey, Meathead is actually the owner of AmazingRibs.com, but I am the keeper of the flame, Raleigh.
I'm sorry
to hear such horrible news. You're not allowed to have a charcoal grill. Can you have gas?
Or? Yes. Well, here's the deal. You can have propane as long as it has a manual shutoff valve that you can immediately shut it off. It's acceptable. And, you know, as far as that goes. But the fine is $5,000. And I got to tell you, over the weekend, there were at least 10 fire ban violations. So I guess people were willing to put their money where their mouth was when it came to their grilling. But now, see, Illinois doesn't have this problem, to say the least.
True. Well, you know, certain condos and stuff, they have restrictions, but not border to border everywhere you go. That's true.
Right.
But you had fun anyway, huh?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I just didn't eat. But other than that, it was wonderful. But every time I look at your website, I just get hungry. The last time we were talking, I was mentioning how much I love the brisket, and you were explaining how intricate it is to cook the darn thing and smoke the darn thing. And it seemed to me that part of this is not only technique, but the right equipment.
Well, that's true. And actually, last time we spoke, and thanks for inviting me back, by the way, I somehow forgot. I just completed a trilogy of how-to videos, how to buy a gas grill, how to buy a charcoal grill, and how to buy a smoker. And they're all on YouTube at our AmazingRibs.com website. So I think that's a good starting point for anybody. You too. Then once you start to get a feel for these different types of outdoor cookers, you want to go to Amazing Ribs, of course, and go through my searchable equipment reviews to look at your options in your price range. But yeah, brisket, that's a tough one, literally, or maybe
yes,
if you don't have the right equipment and don't have the right recipes. But, you know, I think, as we mentioned, it might not be the best thing to start with. Pork shoulder, making pork butt is pretty dang easy because that cut of meat is very forgiving. And, you know, ribs are not too hard to make, but when you have the right equipment and the right recipes, that makes a huge difference.
It's somewhat interesting because you want the rib to be kind of a little crispy on the outside, charred to some degree, but you want it to be really tender on the inside. So you're actually asking the meat to do two different things.
Well, yes, and there are. If you have a good setup and your fire's right, let's say you have a nice smoker, one that doesn't have to be super expensive. You're smoking, let's say ribs. You're smoking those for like 3 or 4 hours at about 225 degrees, and you have a spice rub and salt over it. No sauce yet. It's going to develop a nice brown, crispy crust we call bark. And then right at the end, you can put on your barbecue sauce. You, of course, will be using my Black Swan barbecue sauce once I send you some. Which
oh, yes.
This weekend I'll send it out. But you put that on last because most of those sauces have a lot of sugar in them, and mine does too. And if you really hit it with some heavy heat, it's going to burn up and turn black. But yes, it is doable. And you know, I'll tell you again, you know, do it a couple of times. But once you again, you know, I hate to keep talking amazing ribs or my amazing ribs, but there's a reason we're the most popular barbecue website in the world, and it's because we hold your hand, we show you the ins and outs. We don't just say put a cup of this in and a pinch of that. You know, everything's very exacting, a lot of detail about our techniques and recipes as well. So it's a great place to start for all things barbecue, and that'll certainly get you on your way to backyard domination.
Yeah, I think absolutely hand-holding in something like this is very necessary to not only preserve the neighborhood, but get something quite edible. And you mentioned 200 degrees, and I say to myself, and how on earth would you know this?
Well, that's a very good question, and I have a simple answer. Accurate digital thermometers. We've been harping on this for years, I'll tell you, and when we first started out, we got a lot of pushback. Even though if you go to any barbecue competition, everybody there is using them. And they can be a simple, inexpensive instant read thermometer, which it's a spike with a thermometer on the other end. You stick it in the meat, and it tells you what your internal meat temperature is, so you know where you're at. Okay, I want pork butt and brisket somewhere around 200 degrees. So you're like, oh, I'm at around 180 now, so I'm coming up on it. On the other side, too, for when you're searing steaks, I mean, you only have a window of a couple of minutes. I'm sure you've seen unfortunate situations where people overcook their steaks, and they're just unpleasant. Or on the other hand, it's not as bad, but somebody brings all these beautiful steaks in, and everybody cuts into them, and they're raw in the middle, and you got to take them back out. So digital thermometers will help, and they're not just the meat ones that I'm talking about that have a spike. There are temperature probes that you can clip onto your cooking grate, and that will tell you what temperature you're at. Now, if you have a sophisticated system like the modern pellet smokers, they are built to be thermostatically controlled like a kitchen oven. And many of them have meat probes integrated into their system. So you buy the pellet smoker, you don't need to buy anything else. It's going to tell you what temperature you're cooking. You tell it what temperature you want to cook at, just like your kitchen oven. You set it, and then you plug a meat probe into the control panel and plug the spike end into the meat, and it's going to monitor the whole thing. Makes it real simple.
Right, and that is the no-brainer. I assume that'll set you back some coin to buy one of these.
Well, you know, these days they've gotten so popular that there's a lot of competition, and I've seen small ones that for under $300. So you know, that's not. I know you can get a cheaper grill, but that's not a heck of a lot of money. But then you can go spend as much as you want. There's really nice ones. You know, Traeger's new models have Wi-Fi systems, so you can monitor and control the thing from your smartphone.
I
could have one on my deck right now, and you could be controlling it.
No, I don't want to talk to my meat. Really, I don't.
Okay.
So as far as that goes, I don't want to get to know it too well before I consume it. Now, that begs the other side of the question. For people who have the basic budget grill outside their house, you know, they bought it for $39.99 at Walmart or whatever, is it even possible to make great barbecue in those?
Well, something that cheap, I mean, you know, you at some point you do get what you pay for. The good news is, I think I mentioned last time, if you get a good charcoal grill, you can sear steaks, get it hot as you want, or you can learn how to control that temperature down low and slow, 225 or thereabouts. And, of course, if you have your digital thermometers, that's going to be essential. And you can get a nice Weber kettle if you want to go on the low end for a full-size Weber kettle, 22-inch. They're under $100. So, yeah, that's more than $39.99.
No, that's still...
not only is it going to work great, it's going to last a long time, too. So, you know, if you're really counting your pennies, but you're able to use charcoal... That's a great choice, because you can do anything on it. You can bake a cake on one of those Weber kettles.
No, and $99.99, that's very reasonable, and there's an argument that could be made if you can't afford that, you can't afford the meat that you'd be grilling. So we'll go with one of those. But now, they're pretty basic. They're not going to be souped up and do it for you. You're going to be involved. Now, the searing part, I know, has to do with putting the meat right over the coals. But then the smoking part, I guess, or the 225 part, you got to move the meat away from the coals. How does this work exactly?
Well, that's called a two-zone system, and you use that on a gas grills as well. You put in the case of a charcoal grill, you pile up the charcoal onto one side, and there's devices that are kind of like metal funnels where you can you gather the charcoal in it, and it really holds it in place. The idea being that side is your hot, direct side. The opposite side, where there's no burning charcoal underneath, is your moderate, indirect side. And that's where the meat would go if you're trying to, you know, bring it up to temperature, cook it slowly. There again, it's not an insurmountable task. And there's plenty of instruction at AmazingRibs.com. It gives you a few, like, tricks, you know, what to do, what to look for to make the whole thing easier, smoother, and come out right.
Now, we've talked about pork because, I love it. It is nature's perfect food, as far as I'm concerned.
Okay.
But chicken has its own dilemma. Now, I've tried many times. What I do is when there's fire involved, I send my husband out because, you know, then we don't have to call the fire department. And no matter what, it just doesn't work. You know, they're never really juicy, no matter what I do. And, you know, it's white meat, which is not quite as juicy as dark meat anyway. But how to cook the perfect chicken breast so it actually is juicy is completely elusive to me. What do you do?
Well, one of the things you want to do is people tend to overcook chicken because they're scared of it. And there's reasons to be scared of it. But if you're just cooking breasts... Well, if you got the bone in, you still could have that situation where people see pink fluid and go, oh, my gosh, this is raw. If we eat this, we're all going to drop dead, you know.
No.
But it may not be raw, and that's why you need your instant read digital thermometer. The target temperatures for safe chicken have changed over the years. And here again, AmazingRibs.com, we'll take a look at our chicken cooking techniques, because that's a common thing. People overcook chicken and it's dry, it's like cardboard. You know, so first and foremost, you have to have your digital thermometer, and you have to make sure that you don't overcook it. But there's other things you could do too, like you can inject it with chicken broth or even water. There's a whole variety of things to do. And then, of course, what we just talked about was a two-zone setup. If you don't throw it over direct heat, and again, two-zone can work on gas grills too. In fact, it has to, because most gas grills won't drop down to a low temperature. So you have to go two zone. And with a gas grill, what you're doing is you're only using half of the burners. So you're, in this case, chicken would go on over the burners that aren't on, and you dial it up to the right temperature. And you can't rely on that thermometer in the lid. They're always off. They're really, that's a very old design. They're called bimetal thermometers. They've been around since the 1800s, and they're really not accurate. Plus, they're not down by the cooking surface, so they're telling you an inaccurate temperature several inches, a foot or so above where you're actually cooking. You want to bring that up gently. You don't want to just sear chicken. You got that burned chicken syndrome you see in too many backyards. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
That skin will burn, and some people put sauce on too, especially too early, and it's like this charred disaster. But
yeah, absolutely.
It doesn't have to be that way.
So I was just on AmazingRibs.com and got my first tip about chicken. Now, if anybody's listening who actually knows how to cook and wants some finesse tips, Max Good is the guy who can give them to you. Otherwise, I do have a few more questions. I'm Riley James, filling in for G, and this is WGN Radio.
Excuse me. Excuse me, please. Excuse me. But will you please pass the biscuits down, please? Will you pass the biscuits down, please? I can't understand it. I go out and work and slave, and all my kinfolks do is play. Look at Uncle John down bar. He's had four biscuits already. No wonder he got four chins. And there's Aunt Lucy down at the other end. I thought she was on a diet. If she ain't had eight biscuits, she ain't had none. Excuse me, Uncle Bill, but will you please pass the biscuits, please?
Yeah, so what is barbecue without biscuits? Yeah, that's more Andre Williams, the guy who did Bacon Fat, 1957 on Epic for that. This was also 1957. Pass the Biscuits, Please, was out on Fortune. Gee, I wonder why it didn't chart, or not. Andre Williams died in Chicago last year, sorry to say. He was on Checker in the latter 60s, and just a tremendous artist. A lot of songs about food. What wasn't about food was usually about jailbait, so probably better that he was singing about food. Now, we are talking with Max Good, AmazingRibs.com, and I got my first tip on chicken breasts on AmazingRibs.com, Max, right there in black and white. Chicken breasts don't like you.
Well,
I knew it!
That white meat's notorious, like you said. It's if you let it go, it'll turn into plaster, basically.
Right, right. And of course, you've got some suggestions. Now, firstly, they're tear-shaped for a reason. They do make us cry. But I have to tell you, when I was looking at the website, as you know, there are pop-up ads on every website. That's how, you know, a little digital revenue is made. So I'm looking at the pop-up, and I looked at it, and at first I thought, oh, that's a cooked chicken breast. No, it was a fatty liver. But it looked amazingly like a cooked chicken breast.
Yeah,
and yeah, I know.
Sure. And then I prefer the chicken breast, right?
Well, God, I guess. And then I get to the part where you had mentioned the I word previously, injection, and all I can think about is a Ron Popeil infomercial. I can't imagine how that's going to go down. And then I get to the primo solution, because I like it. I don't know if it'll help the chicken breast, but I'll feel better. Pound the meat flat.
Yes. Well, that's a big thing that helps with is, you know, a chicken breast and other parts of the chicken, they're not uniform shape. So the ends, the thin ends, are going to cook faster. You know, everything that's exposed to the heat's going to cook faster anyway. So if you have something that's a big blob in the middle and thin as it gets to either end, you know what's going to happen. So pounding it, not only tenderizes it to some degree, but it also makes the thickness uniform, so everything cooks evenly.
And at that point, I can get the marinade or brine in there if I choose?
Well, If you want to marinate or wet brine, we call it something, you'd want to do that in advance. But dry brines work very good for all meats, pretty much, which is all it is, as the name indicates. Instead of taking a gallon of water and putting a bunch of salt and other spices in it, you just put the spices right on the meat. Let me qualify that. The only thing that really does penetrate solid meat is salt. If you put pepper and chili powder and stuff on the outside, it's going to taste good, but it's not going to penetrate into the meat. If the meat's been pounded, you'll have a bit more that can penetrate. Some people with poultry like to score the skin, crisscross knife marks on it, which also helps a bit and helps make the skin crispier.
Oh, yeah.
If you're looking at a couple recipes, there's a heck of a lot. And maybe start with the ones that are more basic and work your way up. A nice thing, or work your way outward, if you will, a really nice technique if you're doing whole chickens is spatchcocking them, where you cut the chicken, the whole chicken, into halves and lay it flat onto the whatever kind of grill or smoker you're using. And there again, it provides more even cooking. We really go against beer can chicken because, and we get a lot of flack for that too, I must say. Some people still love it, but stop and think about it. You stick a chicken on top of a can of beer, that inside isn't going to cook at all. People think that the beer is going to steam and make the chicken more moist. But if you got that beer hot enough to boil and start steaming, that chicken would be nuclear blast material. It would be what we talked about, only 100 times worse. Black and nasty. It would be so burned. So spatchcocking avoids that. You cook the inside. You cook the interior of the chicken and the exterior. It's all exposed to the heat.
I'm very curious about this chicken in beer, and I'll get to that in a moment, but I want to mention salt before I forget. I was always told that salt will dry out something. It'll dry out meat, it'll dry out chicken, so don't salt it. But I have a feeling you're about to tell me that's not true.
That is not true, no. I mean, it probably comes from the idea of people used to salt meats to preserve them, and then they're like jerky. And that was the idea. But no, salt itself will not dry out meat. In fact, it could help quite a bit. But, that's not the culprit in dry chicken. Culprit in dry chicken is almost always overcooking it.
Now, the description you gave me a moment ago, and the visual popped up right in my mind, there's somebody who actually is cooking a chicken breast on a can of beer?
Yeah, I mean, it looks fun, and some people, even people that have notoriety in the barbecue world, still feel All right. that it's could be, they still
No.
like it, but we do not like it, and we have detailed explanations why. If anybody cares to check it out, Right. I think they would do well to read our articles about
Well.
That.
The first thing that I would ask is, what were they drinking? I mean, who
they
is
should the... have been drinking the beer instead of
well, that's right. You're you, well. Apparently, they've had the rest of the six pack because obviously today someone hears it because a friend told them. But the guy who came up with it first, he had to have had maybe a carton of beer before he decided, let's put the chicken on top of it.
Well, that wouldn't be beyond. An expectation of what actually happened. A lot of these folks that are barbecuing start early, and by the end of the day, when their ribs and their pork butts and everything else are done, so are they pretty much. But that's a good explanation, though.
I guess now we have to say, in addition to drink responsibly, make sure you're barbecuing responsibly. But more to the point, if you're barbecuing at all, you need to go to AmazingRibs.com. It is an amazing site. And thank you, Max, for joining us.
Oh, well, it's my pleasure. And could I mention really quick, I forgot to say, another site to go to is my barbecue sauce site, blackswancompany.com. You know, we're available on Amazon now.
All right, blackswancompany.com. Yes, Amazon ships food, and very often it'll be there the next day. All right, thanks for that. Appreciate it.
Well, thanks. Anytime. And you have a wonderful evening.
You too. So, yes, AmazingRibs.com. I tend to do these shows before I eat, so it's in some ways a torture for me to sit there going through this site. But I guarantee you, you will get some tips that will help you out as you are grilling responsibly now that we know that that is an issue.